Tampa Bay's TAN Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
It's now time for Connecting Caregivers with author, speaker, caregiver advocate, and talk show host, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for caregivers.
Caregivers around the world today, it's time to lift you up. It's time to celebrate. Welcome to Connecting Caregivers, the show where you can find help and hope. With me, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregivers, with love, laughter, and lessons learned, because you know I got plenty of all that stuff. And on the boards today, we have the fabulous Bobby.
Oh, hello, hello.
How are you?
Doing well. How about you?
I'm doing great. Do we have Lynn on the line?
Yes, we do.
Hello, birthday girl.
Oh, hi, Lynn. I'm still recouping.
You're still recouping. Yes, we had a wonderful birthday celebration for Lynn yesterday.
Oh, it was so fun, and they came at 10 o'clock this morning and took my sign away.
Oh, yeah, I had a big sign put on her lawn in the middle of the night that said, Happy Birthday, Linda, Age to Perfection.
And it was beautiful. I was the talk of the park here. Everybody was taking pictures and
it's good. You get to see your neighbors out.
What a wonderful time. It was, everybody was so kind and
we had that drive-by parade. And
I know.
And Bobby's eating one of the cupcakes from Bernie.
Oh.
So it was all good. And one of the birthday gifts that Lynn received was 71 rolls of toilet paper.
I'm officially a hoarder.
Yeah. I can't believe the songs were that big, but they were so cute. They're like black and white polka dots and like zebra striped the paper on the on the outside. And what's the name? Oh, the name of the company is Who Gives a Crap?
Yes, and it's made out of bamboo. You know, my niece is very green, and so, but now I feel like a hoarder, and I'm glad.
Oh, my God, that was cool.
So, you have new listeners?
Yeah, we have Pearl from New Philadelphia, Ohio. In fact, she ordered one of those books last week and told the person she ordered from, oh, I listen all the time. So, hi, Pearl.
Yeah, hi, Pearl.
And we have Amanda from Seminole. And we have Jimmy from Lake Simcoe.
Oh, a Canadian.
Another
welcome.
Canadian. The Canadians like us. That's a good thing.
I know.
So, all I right. Know. I'll speak to you later.
I'll speak to you later. Thanks again, honey. I love you, and I'll speak to you after the show.
All righty, bye.
Bye.
Not yet. So I told you guys last week we had this guy on the show. This is the book. The book is a Caregiver's Guide for Alzheimer's, 200 Activities. And it is so cool because it's so clear and easy to read and easy instructions and things that you have around the house. And they're giving these books right now, well, they still have some left, for free. And you can just call up. The man's name is Lynn, and the phone number is 603-860-6979. You can just leave a message with your name and address. That's what I did, and a couple of days later, I got the book. So it's a fabulous book. A bunch of my caregivers from the support group have got them. We're going to try to find some sponsors for Lynn so we can keep giving these books away because it's absolutely fabulous. Makes me so happy. So we have our first guest now. It's the fabulous Rachel McInerney from Arden Courts.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
How are you today?
I'm good. I'm doing okay. Sometimes I definitely feel like I'm living in the COVID fog. Have you guys experienced that?
Well, I have to tell you, about 2 weeks ago, one of my caregivers said to me, she said, you know, I feel like I'm disoriented. I don't know what's going to happen next. I have some fear. I don't have my routine. And she said, oh my goodness, that must be what it's like to have dementia.
So true. I've thought about that also.
I think that brought a lot of just awareness to all of us because we're all a little unhinged the way things are going on. Think about somebody that might be unhinged every day. It's just a tough thing. And, you know, Rachel, you know how I love Arden Courts. If the day ever comes that I need to go into memory care, I'm definitely going to be in Arden Courts. I don't know which one. There's so many, so I can go wherever I want. But one of my caregivers, unfortunately, this past week, she knew like before the COVID, it was probably time for her husband to move into a community. And she kept putting it off and putting it off. And he has had such a decline since the COVID because he couldn't go to adult daycare anymore. And he's home. And she said she waited too long. And the other day he passed away.
Yeah, and so this is a story that I'm hearing every day, and it breaks my heart.
Yeah.
I think families and caregivers of those living with Alzheimer's and dementia, you know, they were stressed out before COVID-19. It's a stressful situation.
Mm-hmm.
But we've all had these, like, really sudden, drastic changes to daily routine that you just mentioned to someone who's going to adult daycare or somebody who goes out to lunch, you know, every day
right.
at 12 o'clock with their wife. You know, these things are what helps them.
Just going to the supermarket.
Yeah, exactly. Just getting some neural, you know, activity,
yep.
seeing new things, hearing new things, and all of that stops. So people are losing skills left and right. Everybody I talk to, even people who don't have Alzheimer's or dementia, like mm-hmm. one husband of one of my residents, I do a FaceTime call between the two of them twice a week. And he lives in typical assisted living, was driving. Now, this gentleman doesn't have the neuroplasticity that you or I has, hasn't, you know, been outside or driven a car in 3 months. And I'm scared to death of what it's going to be like for him, you know,
yeah.
once everything gets back to normal. Hopefully that will happen. But it's just been devastating, I think, to this population, this age group. I have so many families that are on my wait list waiting for a room. And as soon as the coronavirus hit, if these rooms would become available, I would call the families, and just like your friend, they would say, no, I'm not going until I can get in there and visit. Or
right.
another thing I heard a lot was, I am too scared that they're going to get the coronavirus in there, that long-term care is just too much of a risk. And I was really conflicted. This is such a new thing, and I didn't know what to say to those families. Obviously, I didn't know how it was going to play out. And I'm so sorry to your friend, by the way, too.
Yeah, it's just, well, first of all, some people just said, I didn't think it's possible during the COVID to go into a community. And then you hear some of the horror stories, some of the things that have happened in certain places where a lot of people have become sick. But Art and Quartz, you have a whole different approach to this, and you guys kind of shut down 2 weeks before everybody else did.
We did. We've been so fortunate, and we've been vigilant, and, you know, my hearts go out to those communities that got this virus, because, I think 5% of it has got to be just luck, but, you know, I do attribute our success to that other 95%, which has been vigilance. So, you know, someone rings our doorbell, and we won't even let them in until we know if they've been, you know, what other communities have they been to. Unfortunately, we've pretty much restricted all visitors. So it's just absolutely medically necessary visitors.
Right.
So that's made a difference, and they have to immediately go wash their hands. We take their temperature, and this applies to our, you know, our employees as well. We're constantly giving them hand sanitizer to take home. We let them order the food through Cisco. So we're hoping they don't go grocery shopping. We've asked them to really, quarantine themselves and take this seriously. And they really have, we constantly have to wear masks, eye goggles now. So we all look really silly, but it's kept our residents safe. It's kept our employees safe. So that's made a huge difference as well. But we definitely are still accepting residents. The admission process is a little bit different because we do need to keep all of our employees and current residents safe. So it's a little bit of a more daunting process, but we do still take residents and help families that need immediate move-in, and the phone has been ringing off the hook. So all of those families that were refusing in the beginning of this crisis to move their loved one and now
are now so overwhelmed.
Or they've created an even worse crisis. I mean,
right.
The stories I have heard, I considered telling, the specifics of the stories, but then I thought I should probably get permission from the families. So I will just say that I have heard some really devastating circumstances that have come from caregivers getting too tired, their loved ones getting tired and weaker, and both of them sustaining different kinds of injuries, different circumstances. So,
And sometimes you have an 80-year-old person taking care of an 86-year-old person.
Yeah.
Now, Now they're both afraid to go out. Now there's all sorts of issues there. One of my caregivers the other day in one of the online support groups, she said her husband sleeps a lot, a real lot. And she said, I've done it before. I run out to the store. It's like a half hour and come back. It's always fine. Well, this time she was out for 35 minutes. She went to CVS. She came back. Well, he ended up going into the garage and into the golf cart and playing bumper cars between the golf cart, the car, the lawnmower. And actually, they had one of those garage doors that has the whole screen over it.
Yeah.
Drove right through the screen. and then he said to her, I opened the door for you. She said, I had to laugh for a second.
Such a gentleman. But yeah, these are the things that I'm hearing is that people just did not expect their loved one with Alzheimer's or dementia to react to the situation the way that they did. And these people desperately needed memory care before the virus. So, if you're at home with your loved one and you are totally confident in your abilities, things are great, you're not stressed out, then this doesn't apply to you. But if you are feeling like the fog, like we just talked about, like mm-hmm. you just don't know how you're going to go on, you're feeling physically weaker, fatigued, your loved one is doing noticeably worse.
Yeah.
I beg you, start doing research, call me, call Linda, to just get some ideas on how to solve the problem, because it's not going to get better, it's going to get worse. And like I said, the phone's been ringing off the hook. I had a bunch of available rooms, and it's getting to the point again where we're going to be on a wait list. So it's important to have your crisis plan in place. Pick your place, get on that wait list. If you never move in, no harm, no foul, but at least if something bad happens, you have some options.
Yeah. And talk to me, too, a little bit about transitional care.
So transitional care, as far as what Art and Quartz provides,
mm-hmm.
It's pretty limited right now because we are restricting visitation. Typically, we do have respite, so that's great. So
explain to our listeners what that is.
Yeah, so anyone who is doing adult daycare before, I'm calling them and saying, you need to come and do a 10-day respite stay, which is like a little break. So if my caregivers want to go on vacation, they're burned out, they have a business trip, it doesn't have to be forever. Also, it's a good trial run. It's a good way to see, could this be forever? Because a lot of people think, well, my loved one's scared that I'm just going to drop them off, in a nursing home or something like that and never come back. And with the restrictions on visitation, I think that that's what a lot of people fear their loved one will think.
Right.
But what I'm finding, because I've had many move-ins during this crisis, is that the residents are doing good. You never want to tell a family member they're fine without you. But they have, short-term memory impairment, and they have a warped sense of time. So they do very well. The transition period's short. And so after a 10-day stay, they can go home and be okay again.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can keep them with us if you feel like it wasn't that bad. So anyone who's burned out, needs a break, consider a 10-day stay. You would be amazed at what 10 nights of undisrupted sleep will do for you.
Well, I'll tell you, even before the COVID, I would find, lots of times people are in my support groups for a couple of years. We watch the decline. I watch the decline of their loved one. I watch the decline of them. But when they would finally make the decision to do it, I would find out that it was much worse for them than it was for their loved one.
Oh, yeah.
Many times they would go to visit their loved one, and the loved one would be doing activities. They'd be like, hi, bye, see ya, or I made some new friends, which you're so glad that they do that, but it's the caregiver that has the issue.
Absolutely. And unfortunately, a lot of times they are doing great until they see that caregiver. So I
right.
would liken it to when we drop our children off at school.
Right.
And I never want to compare someone with Alzheimer's or dementia to a child. I don't mean to demean them in any way.
No.
It's a similar situation when I drop my children off at the first day of kindergarten, and I'm a wreck, of course, and they're like, bye, I'm fine. But then when you come back that afternoon, they might be mad at you for leaving them there. And then you talk to the teacher and they're like, oh no, they had a great
day. Oh yeah, they had the best day.
Yeah, but then they come back and tell you, I hate it there, I'm never going back.
Yeah.
left me.
Yeah. I can remember my daughter telling my mom, her grandma, oh, it was just wonderful. She told me, I hated it.
Yeah, I hear that story all the time. Or, you know, I do these FaceTime calls with my residents to their families.
That's so cool.
Right there. So I get to kind of be a silent observer in these conversations. And I feel a little bit like a voyeur, but it's interesting because, you know, I see the reality of the situation. And then I see the resident who has dementia or Alzheimer's and kind of their perception of the situation. So they tell their loved one lots of things that aren't accurate. And I kind of just giggle because it's sweet. But sometimes it's concerning because I have to kind of go back and talk to their loved one and be like, you know, I just want to let you know, like, they did get their shower.
Yes, I did feed them today. Yes.
All of those types of things. So,
right.
You know, we sometimes have to make sure that. I have one resident who's very high functioning and she's very believable. So,
tough.
She's very convincing. She presents very well. And so even I will have to like remind myself, like she has Alzheimer's or dementia. Like I have to, you know,
right. Query
sometimes, but, we're all doing really well here. I miss you, Linda, so much.
I miss everybody. You know, I'm so glad that you're able to do that FaceTime. I'm so glad of the technologies we have today. Because if this happened a couple of years ago, I don't know what the heck we would do.
No, it would be so much worse. We would not be equipped.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know that I'm equipped for all this technology. I'm still learning.
Please. I did my first Zoom this week with... Oh, my goodness. No, I've done like a ton of Zoom support groups and meetings and everything, but this is a presentation. There was no audience except a screen. So if I cracked a joke, I didn't hear anybody laugh. If I told them to clap for themselves, I didn't hear anything.
How was that for you? Like, did that make it more nerve-wracking, you think?
It was a little freaky. My grandson, I made him sit in the room so there'd be a live person with me at least. But it was like an hour and a half of me talking. But we did get great feedback, and my grandson told me he learned a lot. So,
oh my gosh, yes! Anyone who's ever seen any of your presentations raved. So, I mean, I never doubt that you're going to be amazing. But I would just think that would be exhausting, not getting like the audience's energy.
And I got to sit still. So. Please. But it all worked out well, and then we're going to do some... I'm going to be talking to Kelly Lippincott this week. We're going to be doing some more stuff, so I'm really happy about that.
Yeah, you've been such a resource to Art and Quartz, I mean, to our caregivers, because it is just such an awful walk to have to walk alone, so...
Well, we're all a team, and that's what the wonderful thing is, especially in this Tampa Bay community here. You know, we all work together, and I always tell the caregivers or anybody, if you have a question, just... call me or go to my website, lindaburhans.com, and ask it. If I don't have an answer, believe me, I'll have an answer for you. Because the other day, for instance, before the Zoom call started, they could send in questions if they wanted. Mm-hmm. And one of the questions was, where do I get a proper diagnosis for my loved one in Boynton Beach? Well, I know where to get a proper diagnosis here. So I talked to Donna. Donna contacted Art and Quartz that's near Boynton Beach, found out the name and the phone number and address of a neurologist, gave it to me, and I gave it to the lady.
Yeah, the Art and Quartz network itself is great because we have 52 buildings nationwide. So sometimes I'll have somebody, like I have a gentleman coming to me from Pennsylvania, and part of the move-in process now is to get a COVID-19 test. So I'm like, okay, well, how am I going to get a COVID-19 test? He's not in an Art and Quartz. He's in a different memory care in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
But fortunately, I could contact, you know, my sister in Pennsylvania and kind of coordinate that.
Yeah.
So that's true for anyone all over the country. I know you have nationwide listeners that, you know, anyone in any Art and Quartz is a great resource.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thanks so much for being on the show today, sweetheart. I will talk to you soon. And just give our listeners your website and your phone number, please.
Absolutely. The phone number is 727-543-8383. My name is Rachel McInerney. I'm the memory care advisor at the Largo location. And our email is largo@arden-quartz.com. So thank you again for having me, Linda. And I can't wait to be able to, like, hug.
Give you a hug.
Yeah. I went to hug someone the other day and, like, I didn't even think about it. And their hesitation and fear was
I know. Well, here's a hug coming to you right now, and I'll see you soon.
I look forward to it. I just caught your hug. Have a good day, guys.
Thanks. And now it's time to hear from our wonderful partners, because you know the deal. If you don't hear from them, you don't hear from me. So don't go away. We'll be right back on Connecting Caregivers Radio.
Are you looking for compassionate and dependable home care for you or a loved one? Assisting Hands Home Care, serving Pinellas and Pasco counties, can help.
The day came that taking care of my mother was no longer the best thing for me or for her. Between kids and a job, I couldn't give her the attention she needed and deserved, and I was overwhelmed. So I reached out to Assisting Hands Home Care. Now I can see what an important decision that was, and I feel confident that my mother has compassionate and dependable caregivers who help her to stay happy, healthy, and home. Today, I'm able to visit with my mother and enjoy our time together, which is exactly what we both needed.
Assisting Hands Home Care. Call today for your free in-home consultation. In Pinellas, call 727-748-4211 or visit assistinghands.com. When you can't do it all, give Assisting Hands a call. Arden Courts is an assisted living facility designed to care for those that are struggling with dementia or Alzheimer's, where families and residents can feel the freedom with a nurse on site 24/7. Arden Courts provides specialized memory care in a safe and nurturing environment. They recognize every individual's physical, mental, and social needs and provide a secure environment that fosters independence for as long as possible. Walking paths, visual cues, and home-like amenities invoke a sense of freedom and independence. At Arden Courts, their goal is to make your loved one as comfortable, independent, and healthy as possible. They offer 10 hours a day of activities and programming with a unique setting of a home-like environment and 4 theme houses. It warms my heart to see how happy the residents are. Please call or stop in to talk with a representative. Arden Courts of Seminole at 727-517-7800, Largo 727-559-8411, or Palm Harbor 727-771-1600. Give them a call.
Is the fear of falling keeping you from doing the things you love? Do you suffer from diabetic neuropathy or plantar fasciitis? VoxLife can help. Whether you're caring for someone you love or being cared for, VoxLife wearable neurotech helps your body reach its full potential. Proven to reduce symptoms of diabetic neuropathy and plantar fasciitis, VoxLife also reduces the risk of falling in adults over the age of 55 by 8 times. VoxLife is a safe, simple, drug-free solution that optimizes your neurology. The biggest breakthrough in wellness in 50 years. VoxLife offers a 30-day money-back guarantee. You can't afford not to try it. To learn more about VoxLife, go to www.voxlife.com/caregivers. That's www.voxlife.com/caregivers. They help my parents and they can help yours too.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them blue for me and you, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Okay, caregivers, now it's time for the caregiver affirmation. Take a minute, take a deep breath, sit down, close your eyes if possible, and just listen to these words. I know on my journey there is help and hope. I affirm that I am a good caregiver, that I try my best each day, and I recognize that I deserve to have my own needs met just as much as those for whom I care. I promise I will not allow myself to be consumed by my caregiving role, and I will set aside time in my busy schedule just for me. I am mindful of the other caregivers in my life, and I will let them know that I appreciate their efforts. I am grateful for the people that walk beside me. I will take good care of my own health physically and spiritually, drink enough water, eat quality foods, allow for time to rest and to exercise, laugh often, if only at myself, and seek medical attention for my own health concerns. I am who I am, and I allow others to be who they are. Today I will add one item to my assisting angels list. Then if someone calls to say, let me know if there's something I can do, I will be ready to accept their offer and provide them with the opportunity to assist me. It is an honor to be of service of others, and I will not deny my friends and family this honor. Okay, think about it, caregivers.
So the other day on that Zoom presentation, the dementia dance, at one point, we read the caregiver affirmation, and one of the women that was on the call, her daughter was also on the call. And one of the other things we talked about on that call was helping caregivers. And she sent me an email the next day, and she said, I sat down with my mom last night, and I said, Mom, you have to let me know how I can help you. You have to let me know what I can do. Because her mom always says all the time, I'm okay, I'm okay, I'm okay, I'm okay, I'm okay. So she said, I had a hard time getting her to do it at first, but then what I started doing was giving her choices. Mom, could I do the grocery shopping, or I could do the laundry? And so her mom said she could do some laundry. Then the next day, when she saw her the next day, it's only been 2 days, she said, okay, I could do the grocery shopping today, or I could do the vacuuming. And her mom said, it would be great if you would do the grocery shopping. So it's just those simple little things that we can do to help a caregiver. I think sometimes when a caregiver is taking care, or a care partner is taking care of their loved one, we think that I wouldn't know how to help them. I don't know about Alzheimer's and dementia. I wouldn't want their loved one to be upset. You don't have to do anything with their loved one. I mean, it's nice if you could go over and play cards with them or something like that. But if you can just relieve the caregiver of a little bit of those duties, I think it would really make a big difference. So our next person calling in today, her name is Brittany Bear. We actually met through Facebook. And she is the founder and executive director of the nonprofit My Life, My Stories. The mission of My Life, My Stories is to build intergenerational connections through the power of storytelling. You guys know how I love storytelling. And since founding the organization 3 years ago, My Life, My Stories has facilitated over 1,500 intergenerational connections. Her work has been featured in U.S. News & World Report, Greater Good Magazine, and the San Francisco Chronicle. So welcome, Brittany.
Thank you, Linda. I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
I'm glad you're here. So, so how did you start doing this?
So it all started 3 years ago when I was visiting home. I'm originally from Cincinnati, Ohio.
Okay.
And my grandmother was the only living grandparent of mine at the time. And I never really got to spend one-on-one time with her. We have a pretty big family and we're all scattered all over the country. So we only really gathered in large groups during the holidays. But
right.
During this particular time in my life, I had some free time. And I got to visit her and spend some quality time. And she gave me the autobiographies written by her parents, my great-grandparents, who I never had the chance to meet. And I was just, fascinated by the stories they had both written. And I never really knew much about my family history.
Right.
And I was super proud of what they had accomplished and kind of ashamed at learning about my family history when I was in my late 20s. So that's got
but hearing it, hearing it from their words.
Exactly. Yeah, and hearing like their emotions that they felt, like for example, my great grandfather fought in World War II and started the first Women's Army Corps. So reading about why he felt the need to do that and what he contributed to his time serving our country was just really interesting.
Yeah.
And I know like people have stories like that we never hear about.
Right.
I thought I was a typical Midwestern, like middle class, a white Irish family, but it's definitely much more than that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
So just continue with what you're doing now and just tell me your whole deal.
Yeah. So after that, I moved to San Francisco for a new job opportunity. And during that time, I really wanted to continue helping other people document their life history because it had just such a profound impact on my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I started focusing on maybe those people who don't have the ability or the resources or the time themselves to do what my great-grandparents did.
Right.
So I literally went to nursing homes for low-income individuals. And I started out just with one, and I started recording the stories of people who were interested in talking to me. And since then, it's grown much more than that. So what we do is we have two different programs through our nonprofit. The one that I started with is our memoir making program. And what that is we pair every senior in that program with one volunteer. And the volunteer is usually in their like early 20s to late 30s.
Perfect.
And the volunteer is responsible for meeting with that senior and just documenting the stories that they share just by recording the conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And we take those recordings, we get them transcribed by a professional transcription service, and then we edit those transcripts into what ultimately is used to create a hardcover memoir for the senior. Yeah. So they have this creative process that takes several months. They're working with someone of a different generation, and it takes multiple meetings to gather enough stories.
No, they love the company.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And it's people, you know, we focus on underrepresented groups such as low-income seniors, homeless seniors, vets, LGBTQ seniors, people of color, immigrants. And a lot of these people might not have
The opportunity to do this.
Family members.
Right.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Yeah, so, and a lot of volunteers, especially younger people, are interested in connecting with someone that they wouldn't normally meet in their day-to-day life. And they're able to really directly help improve someone's life, especially right now when everyone's in isolation. We've converted everything to virtual, so people are still meeting over the phone or FaceTime or Zoom or whatever technology they have available to them. But it creates a nice distraction, and a lot of people look forward to their meetings. So we're happy that we're able to continue that during this time. And the other thing that we do is, to foster intergenerational connections, is to, we host monthly intergenerational events. And before the coronavirus happened, they were all in San Francisco, hosted live and in person, but we've had to convert to virtual meetings. But, you know, there's a silver lining to that.
Yeah.
From all over the country and even around the world. We had some people from India and Australia and Indonesia joined the last one. So, you know, that's really exciting, and we have more people that can participate, and we really just pick a theme for each event. And
so give me an example of one.
So actually this Sunday, tomorrow, we're discussing racial injustice and really what's happening around the country right now and how that it's affecting different generations and what different generations think about it. And so we'll have three seniors speak and tell their stories about what it was like to grow up in segregated cities in the 1940s, the 1960s. Mm-hmm. And then what we do, and we do this through all of our events, we use Zoom to create smaller breakout rooms.
Yeah, I love that.
And we spend the majority of time, in intergenerational breakout room, just discussing questions related to the theme. For example, I'm super interested in learning from older people, what's happening today with today's movements and protests mm-hmm. different, or how are they the same as what happened during the civil rights movement in the 1950s and 1960s? How are older people engaging in like community activism, especially when we're supposed to be isolated? So
right.
Those are just a few of the topics. So that's going to be 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern tomorrow. It's free. People can go to our website if they want to join.
And your website is?
MyLifeMyStories.org.
And this information will be on on my information with the show, too. So tell me one of the best stories you ever heard.
Oh, man.
So when people tell me that, it's like, oh, which one?
Yeah, so... I got really close to the people that I met when I was first starting out because they were very patient with me and they were very willing to give me feedback and help me along the way. So one of the first seniors I met, his name is Alan, and he happened to be the first openly gay professor in the country. And he talked about what it was like to face discrimination, especially in academia,
yeah.
when you don't think that people would be so prejudiced or judgmental. But he fought his way to keep his job at the university he was teaching, but ultimately he transitioned careers and became a therapist and helped people during the AIDS epidemic. He lived through the AIDS epidemic here in San Francisco. So I think the stories that stand out to me the most are those that are closely connected with history and, you know, events that I typically read about in textbooks or in books, but hearing it straight from someone's mouth that experienced it is really powerful.
Yeah, it was very interesting. A few years ago, I was involved with this consortium for seniors, all people in the senior industry, and We Love Seniors was the theme. So instead of us buying centerpieces, what we did is we went to senior communities and to their activities directors and asked, could people make centerpieces about their lives? And that there would be a contest, and some activities, you know, director would get $200 for them or everything. Well, I thank God I didn't have to be the judge, because all these different things came in. And one was just a whole bunch of cotton with a plane on it. Well, it turns out that this man was the first man to fly behind the Iron Curtain.
Wow.
You know, I got to have such a great conversation with him. And it's just all these different stories and all these wonderful things. And I think it's so important. It's so important just for us to know in general about what other people did, but to also know about our families. You know, I had someone interview my mother the last 6 months of her life. And my mother's like, what? And I was, just for the fun of it, Mama. And the day of my mother's memorial, she brought me 10 CDs of my mother. One, she sings all the silly songs from when I was a kid. One's on her faith. I can't tell you what that means to me. You know, I can put one in and she starts laughing. I'm like, get over it, Linda, whatever it is.
Yeah, I mean, the families cherish the memories that they have. But I feel like a lot of us, including myself, I actually never got to record my grandmother's stories, even though she was the source of inspiration for this organization. I think it's always, you know, in the back of your mind, but it's hard to dedicate time to that.
Well, a lot of us are home right now.
Exactly.
I can remember when my dad passed away. He passed away a month before his birthday. And my dad lived in Greenwich Village, New York. So I had already had airfare to go back for his birthday, and I decided, well, I'm going to go back anyway and spend some time with my stepmother, you know, be his first birthday since he's gone and everything. And 24 hours after I was there, Hurricane Sandy hit. So we had no electric, no power on the 15th floor of an apartment building in Greenwich Village. And the best part was there were no interruptions. I'd be laying in one bed with blankets on. She'd be in the other, and maybe we would have a little champagne, maybe. And I would say to her, tell me about your first date with my dad. Tell me about this. Tell me about that. And we had no interruptions, and it was just great stuff.
Yeah, that's amazing. Actually, I was living in New York City during Hurricane Sandy, and I did not spend my time focusing on family like I should have. I was panicking and freaking out, but that's wonderful.
Yeah, you have to be marooned with the right person.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, but it was absolutely wonderful, and everybody has a story. She'd say, I don't have any stories, like, so I just started asking her questions, and then stuff just comes out. So
yeah, exactly, and you're right. You're exactly right. Everyone has a story, and people experience these things, especially older people, that people like my age, I'm 31, will never experience. So, for example, I met this Jewish woman. She's from New York. She talked to me about what it was like to. She worked as a secretary for IBM for 40 years, basically her entire life. But she was at IBM when they invented the first computer, and she got to learn all the technology. And even though she was a secretary, she learned how to code. And I just thought that was unbelievable. And then she told me about she contracted polio as a child, and she would tell me that because of her polio, she couldn't finish her piano lessons because her fingers wouldn't stretch. They were curled over. And, you know, it's like, I told that story to a doctor that was my age. He's like, yeah, I will never see someone with polio in my career.
Right.
Hearing about someone's experience is just, you know, really rewarding, even though it was just a 2-minute conversation.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was important. It just, those little moments are really special.
Yeah. Well, it was so wonderful having you on the show today. Let's give us your information again. I will continue to promote the things you're doing to my caregivers and to whoever else, because I think it's great stuff.
Yeah. So, of course, since we're doing all these things virtually, if any of your caregiver listeners think this might be a program for their loved mm-hmm. one to give them something creative to do, definitely visit our website or email me and we can get them signed up. There's no like application process really for seniors, just 65 plus.
Okay.
But you can go to mylifemystories.org and you can find all the information there, including my email address, or you can email me directly at Brittany, which is BRITTANY at mylifemystories.org.
Perfect. And we need
really
to speak more.
Yes,
we need to speak more because I am in the next couple of months, I'm going to be starting a monthly podcast, and it's going to be Connecting Caregivers Presents Candid Conversations with Elders. So we will chat.
Great.
Thank you, my friend.
Okay, well, thanks, Linda.
Have a delicious day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. And now we'll hear from our wonderful partners, so don't go away. We'll be right back on Connecting Caregivers Radio.
Choosing the right chiropractor is an important choice to make. Located in Seminole, the Alexander Spine Center team is trained on the latest chiropractic treatments and technologies. At Alexander Spine Center, you'll find chiropractic and physical therapy care that is safe, effective, and a natural approach to pain and other health-related issues. Chiropractic unlocks your body's potential and natural healing process to ensure your life is a healthy life. We treat clients from the womb to the tomb. Call 727-397-3000 for a free consultation today or visit our website at www.alexanderspinecenter.com.
They take good care of me twice a week. And did you know they got the Reader's Choice Award for 2019 for the best chiropractic in Pinellas County? So check them out. Arden Courts is an assisted living facility designed to care for those that are struggling with dementia or Alzheimer's, where families and residents can feel the freedom with a nurse on site 24/7. Arden Courts provides specialized memory care in a safe and nurturing environment. They recognize every individual's physical, mental, and social needs and provide a secure environment that fosters independence for as long as possible. Walking paths, visual cues, and home-like amenities invoke a sense of freedom and independence. At Arden Courts, their goal is to make your loved one as comfortable, independent, and healthy as possible. They offer 10 hours a day of activities and programming with a unique setting of a home-like environment and 4 theme houses. It warms my heart to see how happy the residents are. Please call or stop in to talk with a representative. Arden Courts of Seminole at 727-517-7800, Largo 727-559-8411, or Palm Harbor 727-771-1600. Give them a call.
Guaranteed to make you laugh through your tears, Linda Burhan's book, Good Night and God Bless, is filled with humor and heartfelt inspiration to aid anyone facing the challenge of caring for a loved one at the end of life. Her story offers hope for human strength and understanding of weaknesses during a difficult time. Life doesn't normally prepare us to become a loved one's caregiver. When it happens, it's usually sudden. A diagnosis of an illness, age-related frailty, dementia, and life suddenly is anything but normal. And because we don't even know what we don't know, where do we turn to for help or guidance? In Connecting Caregivers, answers to the questions you didn't know you needed to ask, Linda offers information, education, and inspiration from her own experience and from experts whose advice, practical tools, and personal stories will empower and guide you. Make sure to add these inspiring books to your collection today, available on Amazon.com.
Don't turn it off now. You need this stuff. Tampa Bay's Tan Talk Radio Network.
You know what that means. Time to get your paper and pen because I got good stuff to tell you. Alexander Spine Center is treating doctors, firefighters, policemen, nurses, and paramedics for free with chiropractic treatment, including examination, x-rays, and adjustment to all in Pinellas County through the end of June. So you still have a little time left. You can contact them at 727-397-3000. They're on Park Boulevard in Seminole. That's 727-397-3000. Also, I told you guys a couple weeks ago, I'm going to tell you again. I don't know if you can see this, where I'm going here. But the robotic animals that are available, there are cats and dogs. And through a grant that the Alzheimer's Association gave to the Department of Elder Affairs, you can get one of these free robotic animals. There's a cat or a dog, or if you don't like either of them, you can also get an MP3 player with whatever genre of music you want on for free. It's crazy. It's for free. I'd say probably about 20 of my caregivers have received them so far, and they're like, it's unbelievable, Linda. They all got names for their little pets. The one woman says, this one woman, in fact, she comes into the support group from her bathroom because that's the only way she can get a little privacy to be on the caregiver call. And she said, yeah, I thought about it, and I ordered the dog, but I thought a robotic, you know, make-believe dog with my husband. She said, my husband loves the dog. The dog's names. He asked me if I fed the dog. He says the dog's watching out over him, and just crazy, you know. And other people that I've heard, that someone that was very agitated, they can give them the cat or the dog, and they'll sit down for like 45 minutes to an hour and just pet it. The one that really touched my heart the most is when the woman said, this brings me love. Just some people are just lonely. So. The information, if you need the information, go to lindaberhans.com and email me, and I'll hook you up with that. Another thing I want to talk about, the online support groups that are so important that are getting busier and busier. I have about 7 a month, but there are also other people that do them, and also memory cafes. And a lot of the caregivers have said, I can't tell you how good this is, that I can now go to a weekly caregiver support group, because a lot of them were only like once a month, and that I can hook in with different people. I do a lot of them. Debbie Selsavage from Coping Today does a lot. Kate McCarty does the memory cafes. But it's a time where you can really get to talk to other caregivers, know that you're not alone, that you're going through the same thing, and getting different ideas. And one caregiver said on the phone today, you know, if I just want just a little time for myself. And I said, well, could you by any chance get someone in that could come in and help? She said, no, he wants to go everywhere with me. I said, well, does he play any kind of games or anything? And, well, he plays cards. Well, one caregiver recently, she went on to the Nextdoor app, and she said, I'm looking for a college young man that would like to come over and play cards with my husband 3 days a week for 2 hours, and I'll pay you. And now this young man comes over 3 days a week for 2 hours and plays cards with her husband, and she can go out for a little bit, or she can just go in the other room. She said, I just want some time alone. Like she can just have some time. So that's a simple kind of thing. Think about that. It's not as expensive. I think she pays him $10 an hour or whatever. It works for him, and it works for, and her husband is also now engaging with someone else. The other thing I want you to think about, and it's on my website this week on the blog, this blog was written by Gary Joseph LeBlanc, and he's the director of dementia education at the Dementia Spotlight Foundation. And here, especially in Florida, we need to prepare for the storm for people with dementia, because it's going to be different. I am praying to God that we don't have any storms, that we don't have to go to shelters, or we don't have to do anything. But now you're going to have a caregiver and their loved one in a shelter with a lot of masks. And there's a lot of things that have to be, we need to pay attention and think about. I myself, my husband is on oxygen. Never thought about it before. I got to be concerned now if the electric goes out. So I have a call into Duke Energy to see what kind of programs they have in the VA, and if not, I'll have to buy a generator or whatever. But we don't want to wait until the storm is around the corner. We need to think about this stuff now. So there's a lot of really good information in here. Gary really knows his stuff when it comes. So if you go to lindaburhans.com and go to the blog, you will see that information there. So once again, caregivers, I know you're going through a tough time. It's not easy what you're doing, but it's important. It's so important. And your loved one, even though they cannot say to you how much they appreciate you, they do appreciate you. And as much as you think they're just a little too clingy, it's just because you're the one that they trust. You're the one that they love. You're probably the one that's the most familiar with them. And it's hard. And another caregiver said to me the other day, she said, just since the COVID now, my husband is forgetting my name. She said, actually, he's calling me his first girlfriend's name. And I says, what do you think about that? She said, to tell you the truth, her name is much prettier than mine, so I just decided to just accept it. So I said, what the heck? That's a really good thing to do. So know that I'm here for you, caregivers. Anything you need, you can call me at 727-365-8383 or contact me through lindaburhans.com. So appreciate you and everything you do. Tune in next week. You know, we always have great guests. In fact, police officer Joel Quattlebaum will be one of the guests next week. Remember, God loves you all the time, and have a delicious day.
Winter, spring, summer, or fall, all you got to do is call, and I'll be there, yeah, yeah, yeah. You've got a friend. If the sky above you should turn dark and full of clouds, and that old north wind should begin to blow, keep your head together and call my name out loud now. Soon I'll be knocking upon your door. Just call up my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running. Oh, yes, I will see you again. Winter, spring, summer, or fall, yeah, all you got to do is call.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.